Now, verse 5, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Now, here is the thing that I truly believe, that when Moses made the tabernacle, God gave him a pattern of the original, the true tabernacle. And when it says true here, it means the genuine tabernacle. In verse 2, when it says a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, the genuine one. And you notice the temple with all of its complications and all of its detail does not furnish the type. The tabernacle does, in all of its simplicity. Now let me say just a word about it, because after all, the temple was really patterned after it, but it became a rather complicated thing. But you have simplicity in the tabernacle itself. Now, it was called a tent, because frankly, it was boards that were put up, very attractive, by the way, very ornate, covered with gold, so that it was 30 cubits long and 10 cubits wide. And it was divided into two compartments. There was a compartment that was called a holy place. It had in it three articles of furniture, a golden lampstand, a golden table of showbread, and a golden altar where incense was offered. No sacrifice other than incense. Now, the lampstand speaks of Christ, the light of the world. The table of showbread speaks of him as the bread of life. And the altar there, the golden altar, speaks of prayer. The fact he's our great intercessor. Here's where the high priest went to pray. And then on the great day of atonement, he went back of the veil, for the tabernacle was divided into two compartments. And back in the Holy of Holies, there were two articles of furniture, the Ark of the Covenant, and it was a box made of wood covered with gold on both inside and outside. In it were the tables of stone and pot of manna and Aaron's rod that budded. It all speaks, the Ten Commandments speak of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law, and he fulfilled it, and he's the only one that ever kept it in all of its detail. And then there was there the pot of manna that speaks of the fact that he's the bread of life even today. And then you have Aaron's rod that budded, and that speaks of his resurrection. Now on top of it was a mercy seat, called a mercy seat. It was really a top for the box, highly ornamented, two cherubims that looked down upon the top. High priest went in there once a year, put blood down there for the nation. And that's what made it a mercy seat, because that was God's dwelling place. That is not a permanent dwelling place, but that's where he met with the children of Israel. Now, around the tabernacle, there was a court, and there was a fence. The fence was 100 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and in that court, there were two articles of furniture. Now, those two articles of furniture, in what was known as the outer court, one was the brazen altar where all sacrifice was made, and that's where the sin question was settled. But you know, saints sin, and so there was a laver where you come for washing. Now, when the sin question's been settled in the outer court, you move into the holy place, and that's the place where the priests served, and that's the place of worship, and you worship God when you pray, when you feed upon him, when you walk in the light of his presence, and that is in obedience to him. That's worship. But no one ever got into the Holy of Holies. But the Lord Jesus, when he died, that veil was rent in twain, and that way was opened up into the Holy of Holies. Not only did that take place, but the Lord Jesus Christ actually took that tabernacle, which was horizontal with the earth, and made it perpendicular. Because down here on the earth, why, that's where he died. Here's where we make confession of sin. And then the golden lampstand, and we walk in the light of His Word because we feed upon it. And then there is that golden altar, but it's not there anymore, as we're going to find. It's up yonder in heaven, because that's where He's gone. And the rest of this is all up in heaven today. Now, my friend, this is the point I want to make. Someone says, well, you said when you got to this section here, because we were warned back in chapter 5 and 6 that He was going to start serving porterhouse steaks, that we'd all been drinking milk, and now He's going to give us something deep. This seems very simple. Yes, it is, friend. And somebody says, well, then, is this a porterhouse steak? Yes, it is. I hope now I can get through to you what we're talking about. Now, if you'd been in Israel and you had gone to the heart of that camp in the wilderness, you would have seen when they were camped that that tabernacle was functioning. That was the pillar of cloud over it by day, the pillar of fire by night. And the priests were busy running to and fro there, just as busy as termites. And sacrifice was being offered, and incense was being offered, and all of that sort of thing was going on. And there was observance of this ritual, and they were going through all of it. Now, that was a shadow of a reality. In heaven, there is the reality. And the rest of the reality is this, that Jesus is there today functioning for you and for me. Now, are you ready for the beefsteak? We've got it cooked now, and I'd like to put it right down before you. Friends, I want to ask a personal question. Is He real to you right now? May I say to you, if you still like to run around in a ritual and have a nice, beautiful service, and there's nothing wrong with that, don't misunderstand me, but you think that's worship, and you think that today that you're serving God because you're teaching a Sunday school class or you're singing in the choir, I have news for you. You forget it. That, my friend, is not what He's talking about here. He's trying to get through to you that Jesus is up yonder for you right now, this very moment. And what does it really mean to you? Come on now. Don't get choked on the steak. Don't ask for a glass of milk now. Don't start running around doing these little things. Let the pots and pans alone, Martha. You don't need to be handling those right now. Let's sit at Jesus' feet. Let's have Him a reality in our lives. When you left the house this morning, did you leave with Him? Were you conscious of His presence? He's up there serving for you, friends. He's your intercessor. You go to Him to make confession of your sins. Why is it that you're worrying your pastor to death? You have to go over there for counseling all the time. Isn't Jesus real to you today? Why keep drinking the milk? Quit being a little baby that has to be burped all the time. Grow up and come into the presence of a living Savior today. Oh, friends, here is what He's talking about. May God take the veil from our eyes. And may He make Jesus Christ in all of His power and in all of His salvation and all of His love and in all of His care for you and in all of His reality. The real tabernacle is up yonder. That tabernacle that was down here, I'm of the opinion many Israelites would told you, well, that tabernacle's real. I've been up, I felt the linen, that linen fence that was around it. I've been in there and stood by that altar. That altar's real. Well, my friend, have you been into the Holy of Holies and found out that there's a throne of grace there and that Jesus is your intercessor? And is He real to you? Don't misunderstand me today. Please, will you stop the baby talk? Don't write me and say, Dr. McGee, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I hope you did, but is Jesus real to you today? Has the Holy Spirit taken Christ and made Him real to you today? I'm not talking about going to church and singing the doxology and having the invocation and I've been to church and I feel better. Well, I hope you do feel better and I hope you've got something for your souls. But are you still drinking milk? Is that what you had for dinner? Is Jesus real to you? That's the important thing. And up yonder, there is a real tabernacle. And I want to feed on the living bread today. I want to walk in the light of His presence so that anywhere I go, the letter I read, no one's ever heard me preach against liquor. In fact, I'm rebuked by that by some people. Why don't you run up the American flag? Why don't you fight communism? Why don't you do this? My friend, I'm teaching the Word of God, and I'm trying to get folk into the presence of the living Christ. And if you get there, may I say to you, like the letter I read, the fellow said, I never knew how cheap a glass of beer was. And that's in spite of all they say about it on TV today. My friend, I'd like to get through to you today. I'd like for you to see the reality of Christ. And when you do, all of these things will drop into their correct place. You don't need to worry about that. Because if you're walking in the light of His presence, you're going to walk with Him down the street. And if you go into a bar room, He's going to have to go in with you. I don't know whether you want to take Him there or not. Maybe you do. And there'll be a lot of places that you're going to stop and consider. And you're going to stop and consider your conduct if you're conscious of the presence of Jesus Christ with you all the time. He is the living intercessor today, friends. He's alive. It's wonderful to read the Gospels and talk about the man who walked by the Sea of Galilee. I love to read them. But he's not by the Sea of Galilee. He today is at God's right hand. He finished my redemption. And he says, McGee, you're sort of a problem child, but I want you to come to me. And I've been coming to him. I can take everything to him. Friends, am I getting through to you today? This, my friend, is what he meant when he said, we're dull of hearing. All of us are. Have you heard him? Have you seen him? Has God made him real to you? Now, if you've seen him visibly, something's wrong with you. But has God made him real to you in your heart? Oh, how wonderful this is. You say, you're bogged down. No, we're not. We're in his presence. We're at the high water mark. We're walking in the tall corn today. We're treading on the mountaintops. We're skipping on the hills today. This is a wonderful section.